Way out west in Berkeley, California, where we are advocates for the homeless but may not know the names of our neighbors, we have heard of it. The Bible speaks of it in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Confucius called it Ren, the heightened state one achieves by unselfishly aiding others to be the best they can be. Buddhists call it the compassionate life. Even the ancient Incan emperors of Peru routinely gave the first harvest, the best of their crops, to the disabled and the elderly. And, I had heard, in Georgia, it was called Southern hospitality. Unfortunately, my first opportunity to sample that legendary hospitality went south, as they say in my hood. After nearly 3 hours in the world's busiest airport, I found myself alone, exhausted, hungry, and unable to find lodging. I was running on fumes when I dragged myself over to the air terminal police station. I appealed to a serious Raymond Burr-esque looking man behind the counter for help, but I noticed too late that he lacked the tired gentleness found in that actor's eyes. I was a sitting chickadee at the end of his large, consuming stare, which he aimed at me as if he were a bounty hunter hired to rid the terminal of all suspicious females. Apparently, I was beginning to resemble a character from Pedro Almodovar's film, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. Raymond was uncaring and uncooperative until I dropped the sacred acronym ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. He suddenly picked up the phone and authoritatively demanded a wheelchair and driver, toot sweet. Shortly, I was off and rolling, but when I asked Missy Wheelchair Driver to please take me to the nearest U.S. air counter, she snapped back, "I heard you. That's where we're going." My patience for people who love to hate their jobs and take it out on everyone else had ebbed to nothing in the past 3 hours. I was sick and tired of being treated like an annoying dog. I shot back, "Is it going to be a problem for you if I repeat myself? Because if it is, I'll get out right here and you can call someone else to help me." "Oh, no," she said in a much softer voice, downshifting. As I and my story slowly unraveled, she began to sympathize, and we took a detour to a counter where I'd earlier overheard a real Southern lady with a soft Blanche DuBois voice assisting another passenger. "Yes," Blanche told us, "there were only 3 hotels which had any rooms available. But regrettably, just moments ago, she had turned the list over to the information counter across the way." I immediately recognized the counter run by Missy in red as being the second place I had stopped to get help much earlier that evening when I was still hopeful, patient, and full of energy. It had turned out to be almost like every kiosk at the airport, containing up to 4 individuals who, it seemed, could only say, "over there," or point, without using any directional words. If asked, they would reluctantly provide a telephone for the traveler's use. It was bright red and looked like a painted leftover from the era when words like Hopkins and Fireside were used as prefixes to phone numbers instead of the first 2 digits. I had not interacted with a single person who would volunteer to show me, dial for me, or give up any more information than what I had specifically asked for. I soon found myself turning into the type of traveler I disdained, one who dropped names and made statements like, "I have traveled alone in countries where they don't even speak English and never had any trouble like this." At one point in the evening, I even yelled to the world at large, who, by the way, was not listening, "I hate this place." So after invoking names like 911, the nearest hospital, and again, the Americans with Disabilities Act, Missy in red agreed to write down the names and phone numbers of the triumvirate of lodging who might be able to offer me a bed. The red phone was slammed on the counter about 3 feet above me as I sat in the wheelchair. They didn't seem to notice or care that I couldn't reach it. But Missy Wheelchair Driver offered to call for me using her cell phone, and Missy in red flashed me a scornful look as she disappeared down the hallway. I soon discovered that Missy in Red was either nefarious or dyslexic. All of the phone numbers were slightly off. None were correct. I heard someone who sounded vaguely like me saying, "If I don't get a room and some food soon, I'm going to end up in the hospital." Finally, the young man behind the counter got the picture and volunteered to correct the numbers. Then he slammed down the red phone, but Missy wheelchair driver was already dialing on her cell. "Alert the world press! Things were looking up." Finally, 3.5 hours after landing, one of the hotel clerks said yes, they had a single room available for the night. I only needed a credit card number to reserve it. Another obstacle, I didn't have a credit card. Back when I first arrived here, I was traveling with my husband to a conference in Tennessee, but Podunk Airlines refused to let me on the plane because they didn't like my ID. Even though I had already been cleared by Homeland Security in Oakland and traveled all day without incident under the caring wings of U.S. Airways, a much larger carrier. I told my husband to go on without me. I would be fine. I would get a hotel, explore Atlanta for a few days, and meet him on the return flight. He had given me all the cash he had in his wallet, but no credit card. Now, I begged. I pleaded. I probably even bleated like a sheep. "Please wait for me to get there. I'm going to find the shuttle right now." The woman agreed to hold the room for 15 minutes. But just as it appeared that things were looking up, Missy wheelchair driver, who had been complaining all along about needing to be elsewhere, received a call on her cell and ran off. "My piece of paper," I cried out, not wanting to lose the only documentation of the call and the awaiting room. I staggered toward ground transportation, trying to replay the hotel conversation in my head, but my hippocampus was tired of being on call all night and refused to answer the page. I remembered Missy Hotel Vacancy saying something about the logo on the van, but my dope was low and my executive functioning shot. I was unable to focus on more than one thing at a time and couldn't find the shuttle. Damn it, little...